الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك من زانت به العسر. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المدثر قم فأنذر، وربك فكبر، وثيابك فطهر، والرجز فاهجر، ولا تمنن تستكثر، ولربك فاصبر. وقال تعالى: وأنذر عشيرتك الأقربين. صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for bringing upon us once again this month of Rabi'ul Awwal. And as we did in the past, we again revise our commitment, we renew our commitment to the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The month Rabi'ul Awwal, the word Rabi' in Arabic, it means the spring season. Rabi' means spring. It refers to that season when the crops and the vegetation starts to blossom and starts to grow. And because this was a month, in this month, in the past, when this month used to come, it was normally around that time of the year when things were starting to illuminate and radiate and start to germinate. But what we are concerned about is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose this month of Rabi'ul Awwal for the birth of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to signify that now there is going to be a new life into this world, into humanity, into mankind. A fresh breath will be instilled into human beings, into mankind. It is like the spring of the world, the spring of mankind. Now we know what happens if you look at the seasons of the year. When the autumn season comes, things dry up. When the winter season comes, it is cold, the crops don't grow as well. In autumn, everything dries up, the leaves start to fall off the tree. So everything has gone dead. Then when spring comes, now it's like a new life that is given to the vegetation and the crops in the world. So the prophets of the past came, they came, they went, came and went, came and went, 120,000 plus minus 120,000 Anbiya alayhi salam. And after the last prophet, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, when he left this world, there was then a period of 600 years. 600 years when everything went flat, everything went dead. There was no more deen, there was no more iman, there was no more ikhlas, there was no more amal, there was no more taqwa in the lives of people. Everything was dead, everything had died down, everything had shriveled up and dried up. And then Allah sent His Nabi, Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah sent this Nabi to revive the fortunes of this, the people of the world, the fortunes of this ummah. And that is why it becomes Rabi'ul Awwal, it becomes the first spring. It was like a new life, it was a new blossom to the vegetation of mankind. And we know, and no one can ever doubt it, that the birth of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it heralded a new era of this world. It brought with it a completely different dimension to the history of mankind. But at this stage, we don't want to speak too much upon the birth of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or about the greatness and the significance of his coming into this world. What I would like to focus on is the da'wah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What is the meaning of da'wah? Da'wah means the propagation. How he propagated Islam. And this is going to be a general topic. I mean, I'm going to speak about da'wah in a general sense. Throughout the life, in the different aspects of da'wah, we won't confine it to one particular da'wah. When you speak of da'wah, propagation, inviting people, the first thing that comes to mind is inviting people towards Islam, propagating the deen as such. But I'm going to make it not so specific. I'm going to make it very general, very widespread. We will speak about the way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam propagated Islam to the non-Muslims, the way he propagated deen to Muslims, the way he invited his own people towards the good teachings of Islam. Because remember, just as you invite non-Muslims to Islam, you have to invite Muslims also to the basics of their deen. When Muslim people drift away, you've got to call them back. Come back to the path of Allah. Come back to the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is what I mean when I say a general form of da'wah, the different types of da'wah. Then the question is, what is the benefit for us? Let's say, for example, you as females, how does this benefit you? How do you come into the equation here, or the picture of da'wah? So let me explain that once we realize how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught deen. So teaching is also a form of da'wah. Therefore I said it's a general discussion, this da'wah in general, teaching, speaking to people, giving advice, nasiha. So this is going to help us as mothers, is going to help us a great deal in understanding how we advise our children, how we treat them, how we give them nasiha, how we invite them to the good things of deen, how we can keep them away from the wrong things of deen. We also call this amr bil ma'ruf nahi anil munkar, to command good things and to prohibit bad. This is just not something that can be done in a haphazard way, just anyhow, as you feel like. There's a certain method of doing it. About da'wah, Allah says in the Quran Kareem, ud'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'izati al hasana. ud'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'izati al hasana wajadilhum billati hiya ahsan. Invite, ud'u. The word ud'u comes from the word da'wah. Da'wah is an Arabic word. From there you have the command, ud'u, that means invite, towards the path of your Allah with wisdom and beautiful advice, beautiful nasiha. وَجَادِلْهُمْ, and you must argue with them, with the non-Muslims, بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَن, with such arguments and such statements which are the best. In others, use the best of arguments, good arguments. Don't get indulged in mudslinging. in a slanging match with them. Don't get involved in swearing, insulting them, ridiculing, mocking them, but use logical, reasonable, and good arguments, beautiful words that will open their minds. That is for the kuffar. For the Muslim, use hikmah and maw'idah hasana, wisdom and beautiful advice. And what is wisdom? I one day asked our Sheikh and our Ustad, Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayh, that how do you develop wisdom? How do you attain wisdom? So Hazrat says that wisdom, it comes through experience. It comes through experience. You can't just get it overnight. When you work in something for long and you work intelligently, you always think and you learn from your mistakes. That is how you become wise. So the Quran Kareem, time and again, it has commanded us to make da'wah, to invite. And as we can see from this verse of the Quran that I recited, this verse comes towards the end of the 14th juz, the end of Surah An-Nahl, where Allah gives us two types of da'wah. One is with wisdom and good advice, that is for Muslims. The other is jidal or argumentation in the most beautiful manner, that is for the kuffar. وَلَا تُجَادِلُ أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ. In Surah An-Kabut, Allah says the same thing here. He says, do not argue with the Ahl al-Kitab, the Yahud and the Nasara, the Christians and the Jews. Don't argue with them except in a way that is the most beautiful. أحسن. So we are commanded in this way. From this you also learn, respected sisters, keep this in mind. These are all important words of advice that you would do well to remember. So when the situation arises, you can remember what we said and you will not be confused. From this we learn that those Muslims who do propagation work and who engage in debates with the kuffar, some of them resort to mocking, ridicule, insulting. Now that is wrong. That is incorrect. Because one of the dangers that's going to result from there is what Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. That you must not insult those people who worship other gods besides Allah. Don't insult them. And don't insult their gods and their idols. Why? فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهَ. Because in turn, or in return, they will then insult Allah. عَدْوًا. In spite, بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ, without knowledge. In their ignorance and because of their spite and their malice and hatred, they will now start attacking Allah and attacking your Rasul and attacking Islam. So that's important for a da'i, a person who makes da'wah, a person who propagates. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us many things in this regard. He was a da'i. One of his titles is da'i. Allah says in the Quran, let's listen to this. Beautiful verses of the Quran. Ya ayyuha an-nabiyyu inna arsalnaka shahida. Inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashshiran wa nadhira wa da'iyan ila Allah bi'iznihi wa sirajan munira. That, O Nabi, O Prophet, we have sent you mubashshiran, inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashshiran wa nadhira. These are all the titles of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember, just as Allah has got 99 names, attributes, titles, the Prophet of Allah also has many titles. Some have said it's 99, some have given less, some more. One title is, he is Shahid, that means a witness. He is a witness against the ummah against other ummahs. Mubashir, he is a one who brings glad tidings. Nazir, he is a warner. He warns people about the azab of Allah. Wada'iyan ila Allah, and we have made you a da'i. We have made you an inviter towards Allah. Bi'iznihi, through the permission of Allah. Wasirajan, we have made you a light, muniran, which is radiant and luminous, which radiates and glitters and glows. The lamp, Nabi sallallahu is one of his names, is Siraj, which means a lamp, a light that guides and leads others. It lightens up the way for others. So these are his titles. One title is Da'i. The purpose of his mission here was to propagate, to spread the deen of Allah. Now there is a lot to learn in the da'wah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's take one aspect of this da'wah. Let me just inform you that obviously we've got 45 minutes and we will not be able to go over all these things in 45 minutes. But for those who are available, if you are available, if you have transport with a mahram, then we have a program on Saturday night after Maghrib Salah. At the Darul Uloom, there will be accommodation for ladies at the madrasa, the girls' madrasa, which is on the corner of Dahlia and Euphorbia Street. So the ladies will be accommodated there, inshallah. So this program will be after Maghrib. It will be the same thing about the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the da'wah of the Prophet of Allah, so that we can learn and realize our responsibilities in today's world with regards to propagating the deen of Allah. And again I say, don't only think that we are propagating to the non-Muslim. Propagation starts inside the home. And that's the first lesson we learn. What does Allah say in the Qur'an al-Kareem? وَأَنْذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ وَأَنْذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ وَاخْفِضْ جَنَاحَكَ لِمَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. A great usul of da'wah. Usul means principles. A great principle of da'wah. We are taught here. The first thing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is commanded. Now, it's interesting to note, when did this command come? So just going back again, just to remind you that we will discuss the same topic, but there will be other things. Don't think it's the same thing. When you speak, other things also come up. So this will be on Saturday night, this coming Saturday, that will be the 12th of Rabiul Awal. Saturday night is the 12th of Rabiul Awal. Sunday, the day, is the 12th of Rabiul Awal. After Maghrib, it will last for about 1 hour, so Maghrib is 6:30, so about 7:30, quarter to 8 will be finished, inshallah. There will be some qirat by the students, some nizam, and there will be some lectures, inshallah. Short talks. But the important thing is that we need to increase our understanding, to expand our understanding of the da'wah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah says in this ayat, firstly, when was this ayat revealed? This ayat was revealed shortly, or let's say 3 years. 3 years after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the first revelation. And I'm sure at least our sisters will have this much knowledge of the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Seerah. What is the meaning of seerah? Seen, ya, ra, ta. Seerah means the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his biography, his life from birth to death, the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So at least we must acquaint ourselves with the life of our Prophet. And we have written some things. We gave out some our newsletter. There are some things written there which I'm sure a lot of people don't know. And there are still more things that people may not be aware of. in the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we need to understand this. At this stage in time, we ask you to make dua. We are busy preparing a book on the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A lot of books were written, but we find that not all the things that people need to know were brought in. So I intend bringing out this book inshallah shortly. Make dua that Allah brings it to fruition inshallah. So there are many things that we don't know yet about the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even in this talk, in the da'wah of the Prophet of Allah, you will learn things. We hope you can remember these things. This talk is also recorded, so you can even get the recording if you need to go back and revise some of these lessons. So the first revelation was Surah Iqra. And then for 3 years, there was no revelation. There was no wahi. And do you know, respected sisters, that in those 3 years, what happened? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam expected more revelation to come. He expected more wahi. But everything went against his expectations. No further revelation came. And because the Prophet of Allah by that time had developed such a bond with Allah, he was in great despair. He was in great concern. He was greatly and deeply depressed. And it is written in the books of history that our beloved Rasul, our master, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, reached a stage where on two occasions, he went on Mount Hira with the intention of throwing himself down to kill himself. Such was the state of his depression. Not for any other reason, but he thought that something has gone wrong. I received revelation, now everything is stopped. Have I been misled? Am I wrong in what I received? Or did I make some mistake that now suddenly Allah has cut off this revelation? He was totally confused. And then Jibreel alayhi salam would come to him and console him that, O Muhammad, have no fear. There's no need to be frustrated and depressed. Remove this fear from your heart. You are the Prophet of Allah. The time will come when the revelation will start. And the Sahaba, the Hadith say, ثُمَّ تَتَابَعَ الْوَحْيُ. And then after 3 years, the revelation started coming thick and fast, one after the other. And this was the time when Allah revealed this ayat, وَأَنْذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. That, O Muhammad, you must now warn عَشِيرَتَك, your family, الْأَقْرَبِينَ. The word عَشِيرَ in Arabic, it means family. أَقْرَبِينَ, it means people that are close to you. So you must warn your close family. For 3 years, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not make any da'wah. He never went and proclaimed Islam. He never invited people. The first person to embrace Islam, and I think you people will know it. You people will know it, and maybe our sisters can boast. They can boast about this. It's like a feather in their cap against the men, because they will say that, where do you men come from? Do you know that the first person to embrace Islam was a woman? And who was that woman? It was Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha. When the Prophet of Allah received this wahi, and he came down very perplexed, very disturbed, very anxious, shaking and trembling like a leaf, it was Khadija radiallahu anha who consoled him, who gave him comfort, who gave him solace. Allah make all our wives like that, that can comfort and give the husband solace when they are in difficulty, when they are in anxiety, when they are depressed. So Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha was the first. She just embraced Islam. There was no need to think a second time. She has so much confidence in her husband and so much confidence in his message that she said, well, this is from Allah and I accept whatever you are saying. And what a unique situation it was. Then came Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, the first boy. He embraced Islam, 10 years old. Then Abu Bakr. But before Abu Bakr, what a unique situation it was. Rasulullah, I mean Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he used to boast. He boasted. Now, obviously, they've got great reason to boast. And what do they boast of? Me and you will boast if we've got maybe a nice house, beautiful home, beautiful car. We bought a beautiful new lounge suite. Or we got some beautiful carpets in the house or some best of jewelry. Then we boast about these things, our clothing. Those Sahaba used to boast about deen. For them, the greatest achievement in life is centered around deen. So Ali radiallahu anhu used to boast, he used to say that I was the third of three people who were honored with a distinction that they made salah on earth when no other individual bowed down to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Khadija radiallahu anha, and Ali, the three of them, they used to come into the Kaaba and offer salah. And they were making sujood at a time when the entire world was not making sujood in front of Allah. They were the only three people in the world to make sujood in front of Allah. What a great distinction. I always tell our youth, like we're having the Saturday night program. So to motivate them, I say that just think to yourselves that you are in the masjid Saturday night. Or you are in the madrasa, you sleep in the madrasa Saturday night. They sleep over and then they go home Sunday morning. You are in an Islamic environment, reading Quran, making zikr. Sometimes they wake up early, they make tahajjud salah, reading salah, waking up early for your fajr. And then you go across the city. You go across the city to another part of the city where people are engaged in gambling, in drinking, in smoking dakha, in taking drugs, in dancing, in music, in fornication, in adultery, in crime, in robbing, in burglaries, in killing people. And the whole night goes in this rave of sin. And in the early hours of the morning, they are so drunk that they cannot even find their way home. And 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, they just pass out in filth and in dirt, messing themselves up, and they lay like that till 12 o'clock in the day. Look how fortunate are you youngsters that you spend your night in a Mubarak place. You spend your night in dua, in ibadat. You wake up in the morning, that morning part, such a sacred time, it is spent in the worship of Allah, in sujood, in zikr. What a great fortune this is upon you. You could have been one of those ravers, gangsters, druggies, junkies, alcoholics, gamblers, dancers, singers, all those evil people. But Allah chose you to put you in a different environment. You must be proud. When at the time others are indulging in evil, you've got time to commit, you've got time to perform good a'mal. The Sahaba had a habit. Whenever it came the festival season of the Kuffar, whether it was the Jews, whether it was the Christians or the fire worshippers, when it was their Christmas day, their festival day, then that day some of the Sahaba used to make i'tikaf in the masjid. Why? They say that today in another part of our city, the Kuffar are engaging in shirk. So we want to show them that whilst you are busy in shirk, we are busy in the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are thanking Allah that Ya Allah, We could have been in the same boat as those people. We could have been in their category. Today we could have been there committing shirk. You chose us to commit, to perform the a'mal of tawheed. So we are here thanking you for that a'mal. So Hazrat Ali radhi boasted about this. There were three of them that were making sujood unto Allah. And that was a period where there was no da'wah. Why? Because this is one of the lessons to learn. They needed to consolidate. They needed to make themselves strong. They needed to convince themselves of the deen that they were following. And those that embraced Islam, they were not invited openly. It was by word of mouth. It was friends. They saw the Prophet of Allah. Abu Bakr was his friend. And he saw the Prophet of Allah is on a different, is in a different program. He's got something else here now, a different system of life. What is this? Started asking questions. Well, I will accept it also. And that is how they came into Islam. And then 3 years later, the command came down, وَأَنْذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. Another command before this, يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُدَّثِّرُ قُمْ فَآذِرْ وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَهِّرْ وَالرُّجْزَ فَهْجُرْ وَلَا تَمْنُنْ تَسْتَكْثِرْ وَلِرَبِّكَ فَصْبِرْ. أو مدثر. مدثر means a person who has wrapped a cloak or a blanket around him. That was Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So these are another, this is another name, two more names, Muzammil and Mudassir, names of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah addressed him, Qum fa'andir, stand up and go and warn the people. And then he went on to Mount Safa and he collected the Quraysh and he gave them the message of Islam. He delivered the first public announcement of Islam, the first public invitation to Islam, that was from Mount Safa. But before then, he had practiced upon the other command of Allah, where Allah commanded him to go and warn and invite his close family members. So the da'wah, respected sisters, it starts at home. Many people are busy giving da'wah to non-Muslims, but they neglect their own sons, their own daughters, they neglect their own sisters and brothers and their own family members. So you have to have a balance. Give the da'wah to the family people and also give it outside the home. Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam started within the confines of his home, within his immediate family members. So this is the first approach to da'wah. It is that you begin with people close by. Why is this? What is the reason? What is the wisdom behind it? So let me explain. The people close to you, they deserve the most from you, whether it is deen, whether it is dunya. And what can be greater than deen? So we know that when you have close family members, they are in difficulty, you help them out. It's your duty, your incumbent duty. They are in poverty, you will spend on them. What do they say? Ibda biman ta'ul. In English we translate it, charity begins at home. When you give your zakat, when you give charity, before you go outside the house, look at your immediate and close family members. Remember, besides your father, mother, grandfather, grandmother, and upwards, and your son, daughter, grandson, granddaughter, and downwards. Besides those two groups, you can give your zakat to any other family member. Your brother, you can give zakat. You can give zakat to your sister, your aunt, your uncle, your nephew, your niece, your cousin, brother-in-law, sister-in-law, mother-in-law, father-in-law, son-in-law, daughter-in-law. You can give your zakat to all these people. Just avoid your roots and your offspring. You cannot give to your father, mother, cannot give to your children, grandparents, you cannot give, grandchildren, you cannot give. So, when we give charity, we look at our family members. How's my brother off? How well is my uncle? How's my aunt? How's my cousin? How's my niece, my nephew? Do they need anything? So when they are in difficulty, when they are in poverty, when they are destitute, then you have to extend that helping hand. So in like manner, respected sisters, when your family members are destitute spiritually, when they are spiritually poor, they are spiritually bankrupt, they are morally demoralized, they are morally insolvent, then what you need to do, you need to give them the dawah. And again, now the next aspect of the dawah is, how do we present this dawah to the people? How do we present it? So the methodology, the way of doing it, that is absolutely and vitally important. Because remember, I will never forget the words of Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayh. He was commenting on a certain alim who attacked someone very severely, very heavily. So Hazrat says that, you know, when you tell someone the truth, the important thing is how you tell that person. If you tell it to him in the right way, in a good way, he's going to accept it. And if you tell it to him in a wrong way, he's going to reject it, even if it is the truth. And he says that even if you take something that's false, something that's wrong, but if you tell it to a person in a good manner, he's going to accept it, even if it's wrong. And you tell a person the truth, but in a wrong way, he's going to reject it. So that is very important. And in this regard, we look at a few incidents in the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the best way to do it. It is in keeping with the command of Allah. What does Allah say in the Quran Kareem? لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله. Undoubtedly for you, O Ummah, in the Messenger of Allah is a beautiful example, a beautiful model. So we look at his life, we look at the way he lived, the way he acted, the way he performed, the way he spoke, the way he conducted his life, his morals, his etiquette, his behavior, his attitudes, his akhlaq, his character, his conduct, his manners, and then we take from there. We take from his book, we take a leaf from his book, and we practice. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had beautiful ways. Firstly, he was very sincere. When he spoke to someone, in his heart, he was absolutely convinced that I am saying this to this person to bring this person to the truth, to bring this person closer to Allah. There was never ever a moment when he gave advice to someone or he reprimanded someone with the intention of belittling that person or with the intention of venting his anger or with the intention of silencing that person. There was no intention like this. He was sincere to the extent that he wanted that person to listen to the truth and improve his life and become a better Muslim. That's one thing. Number two, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not reprimand a person for any personal matter. If he reprimanded someone, it was for the sake of deen. Number three, he was very just. If a person did wrong, if an outsider did wrong, he would tell that person, this is wrong. If his family member did wrong, he would tell the same thing to that person. He had never used double standards. It's not like this that, okay, this guy is my friend here, this person is my friend, so leave him, let me not tell him anything. And this person, well, he's an outsider, I don't know who's he, I'm not cared about him, he's not my family member, let me give him a nice tongue lashing. There was no such thing. That is far, far below the standard of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can't even dream of something like that. He was absolutely sincere, there was ikhlas, there was that feeling, that feeling for the well-being of another person, that respect and that fairness and justice. So these are the things we learn from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, what a beautiful life this person led. He was 8 years in the khidmat of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know it's khidmat, service. His mother brought him when he was 8 years old. And she says, when he was 10 years old, she says, Ya Rasulullah, accept my son for your service. So he came and he was almost like in the household of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he became baligh, then the Prophet of Allah instituted a measure of parda, and then he was told that, look, now you don't come in to the house certain times, or when you come, you first seek permission and then you enter. But he was close to the Prophet of Allah, and he says that one day Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent me to do something. I was a young boy, 10 years old, 11 years old, what do you expect? So I went, I was very anxious to do the work. So I ran off to do this work. Along the road, I met some children. Now you know how kids are. So I met these children, they were playing, so I joined them. Or I watched them playing. My mind was distracted and I forgot to do the work that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent me for. So he says that whilst I was standing there, suddenly I just feel someone grabbing my shoulders. A firm hand on my shoulders. It was the Mubarak hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When I turned, I got a shock. But the Prophet of Allah was smiling. He says, Ya Unais. Unais is a, let's call it, you call it a diminutive. If you understand that, it means like the smaller form of a word. Like you have cat, and a small cat is a kitten. You have dog, and a small dog is a puppy. So Unais was the diminutive of the word Anas. It means like, oh small Anas. It's an affectionate word, a word of tenderness. Ya Unais, oh small Anas, what happened to you? Where are you going? I'm waiting for you. So he says, Ya Rasulullah, I forgot. So the Prophet of Allah smiled, no problem, you can still do the work, and there he went. Now look at this beautiful conduct. Look at this conduct. Now this is how we create an impression upon people. Now sometimes people will react differently. You tell your son that just go and do this for me. Now the son goes, now he is a child, so he gets involved in something else. Now you want to bring down the roof of the house, or you want to beat the living daylights out of him. Now this is not the form of da'wah that our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. And for this, there's something else. I didn't mention it yet. I will mention it now. There's one more thing that you need. I'm sure you have guessed it. You need loads and loads and loads of sabr. Without sabr, you will not be able to make da'wah. Without sabr, you will not be able to propagate. Ya bunayya aqimis salata wa'mur bil ma'ruf wanha 'anil munkar. Wa'mur bil ma'ruf wanha 'anil munkar wasbir 'ala ma asabak. Inna dhalika min 'azmil umur. Luqman alayhi salam gave advice to his son, Ya bunayya, oh my son, establish salah. And wa'mur bil ma'ruf, command what is good and prohibit evil, that is da'wah. And then when you do this, you need sabr. Wasbir ala ma asabak. Have sabr over the consequences of your da'wah. So respected sisters, we are going to just stop here now. As I said, we'll continue with this in our Saturday night program. So whoever is available, if you're not available, you will always get a recording of the program. But inshallah, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, gives us the ability to fulfill da'wah in the manner in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fulfilled it. Ameen thumma ameen. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.